Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarsPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarsPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarsPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarsPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarsPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarsPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and we're here again to discuss something, and everybody's going to relate to this. It's about animals and how they give us comfort and support. I get it all day long. I know Maya Moon does, too, which I want to welcome Maya Moon tonight. This is a two-parter, actually, that we're going to see if we can do. I'm sure we'll be able to talk two parts with this one. But Maya Moon, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks, Natalie. It's great to be here, and welcome to everyone listening. And yes, I agree. I feel everyone should be interested in this, and hopefully it'll resonate with a lot of people, and maybe it'll get some people out there pet shopping.
Absolutely. Well, you know, everybody knows I have a cat. And occasionally I have Dixie Girl, which is a bird, and I got her covered right now. I still have her. Sometimes my son will go out of town, and it's my daughter-in-law's bird, and then she'll bring her over here. And sometimes you'll hear her go, oh, like that. That just means that's kind of her way of saying, oh, yes, I like it. Whatever you're saying, I like it. But, you know, there are all different kinds of pets we can have. And now we just don't talk about dogs and cats and birds. I mean, you can have, what are some of the other ones? You can have guinea pigs and all kinds of things that can give you this wonderful feeling to feel good when things might not be going so good. They do comfort you. I know my cat does a lot. I mean, sometimes he drives me crazy, and his name is Mushy, and he's a big cat. He's a Maine Coon. And he talks to me, and, you know, if it's time to do something, he runs and gets me, then he flies out of the room. But, you know, sometimes, Maya, he's so comforting to me that I could stumble over him. I mean, like, he'll be right behind me in my chair here in the office because the sun shines in, and I don't even know he's there. And if I either back up or turn the chair, I mean, I could fall. Many times I've caught myself. Now I've learned that you got to watch to see where he is because he's, like, at my feet, especially at night. If I'm working really late, he'll come in here and he'll sit with me. But then he only, you know, he tolerates it so long, and then about 10:30, 11, oh, he wants to go to sleep. It's time to go in the bed, Mom. So he'll come in here and he'll talk and he'll run out again and he'll talk, come back in and talk. It's kind of like he's saying to me, oh, it's okay. Isn't this enough? You've been at this all day. Enough is enough. So he's got his own little ritual. And, of course, now you have new boopies. I call them the new puppies, new boopies. I call them boopies because I'm their auntie. I've designated myself as the auntie. And I get pictures. And tell us about how the little puppies are doing and how you relate to this topic.
And first I just want to say, too, if you think about, you mentioned some animals are and I'll get more into that. Some animals, of course, they have stronger energy. But really, if you think about crystals, if you think of it in that, in that format, crystals are rocks, gemstones. They exude energy. So really, any animal, even a fish, even people, they may not be able to offer the same comfort. But yes, I have Rico is the father, and Rico is a gorgeous male. They're Australian Shepherds for anybody that would, you know, is interested in what breed. And they're just so healing. There's six puppies, but and they're doing great. They just today started to open their eyes, and they're 2 weeks today, and so they can't really see very well yet, but their eyes are open, and puppies are like babies. Their eyes are always blue when they're born, and they don't change until they're about 6 weeks, sometimes 3 months, so they have to be real careful. And some of them do have blue eyes, but you have to be careful. But they're doing good, and they're really starting to walk instead of just, you know, they scooch around when they're what we call little baby puppies. Now they're getting to be bigger kids. And one of them, you know, you have to check this to see what sex they are. And this is, to me, is just so funny. This has never happened to us before. And so we're really careful. Now, while we're delivering, while the puppies are being whelped, pretty chaotic. And, you know, so we write down and make markings, the time they were born, their weight, take care of the puppies, so on and so forth, and mark the sex of them. And then we always go back and double check a couple times. Then after that, we don't really pay that much attention because we've already checked. And we had one. It was the firstborn. And it was a very flashy, beautiful pup that we had named. Now I got to think of what we named it. It was a female, Chanel. The theme of the litter is the finer things in life. So we had named her Chanel. And just a few days ago, this was just on Friday, I started looking at pictures. There's two of them that look very much alike. One is Monet, who is a female, and Monet and who we had named Chanel were marked very much alike, and they were the first and second born, and they look very, very close. It would be very easy to mix them up. But when I loaded the pictures up and was looking at the pictures, something didn't seem right to me. And so I went back into the room, and I said, something doesn't seem right because Chanel, it just has the a malish head, something. We either used the wrong puppy or something went wrong. And so we looked, and we were just literally, I mean, flabbergasted. It turns out that Chanel is not a girl but a boy. And so now we've named him Calvin, and I'm completely open.
Calvin.
Yeah, so because they're all like, there's Calvin, there's Glitz, there's Paris, there's Gucci, you know, those kind of names for, you know, Monet, and then Calvin is the latest. And Bentley. That's another female. So, of course, that got us to checking all of them. And, you know, so I've been making jokes ever since. But, you know, yeah, that's pretty funny. I said we were trying to change the poor thing. I said, you know, I wonder, the energy we get from them is just so amazing. It's just, I mean, I don't care how bad of a day you're having or what's going on. You go in there and you pick up those puppies, and it's just, I mean, it's like getting a massage, or, I mean, it's just a beautiful healing experience, and that makes it worth it. It's right now, it's not very much work. Up to about 3 weeks, the mother cleans up after them and takes care of them. The mother that we have right now, her name is Gypsy, by the way. She is an exceptional mother, and I do mean exceptional. And she will, if we would let her, she would clean up after them until they were left. But we don't allow that because it's not good for her digestive system after about 3 weeks. So after 3 weeks, they're fun because they start playing and barking and making noises, but they're already making noises, and they know the sound of my voice. And so if I go in there and I talk and I don't pick them up, they...
Oh,
yeah. They
cry at night? Are they crying at night, Maya? No, they're not, because they're with their mother, right?
They're with their mother. We slept with them the first week, but now they're okay. Their mother sleeps with them and she can get in and out of the box. We don't have to worry about her not feeding them. Oh, they're little fat piggies. I mean, they're just chunkers. I mean, they just eat. And I mean, she just is just the best mother. Some moms, we have to lock them in there or we will bring them in our room. But we have a room designated, we call it our whelping room. So right now we haven't been sleeping with them, and we probably won't anymore now. Now they can maintain their own body temperature at 10 days, but we were, and they are so noisy that at night, now they're not as bad, but the first week they're born, they're born deaf, blind. So,
oh, wow.
The only way that they know to get attention, and we call it getting lost. They get easily lost and turned around. You can imagine they can't see or hear, so all they can do is smell them. You know, they're up at their mother's behind and back behind her, and we have to constantly, that's why we sleep in there too, because we have to sit, we call it saving puppies. I mean, nothing would really happen to them. They find their way, but they make noise too. It's an exaggerated response that puppies do for mothers that would not, you know, in the wild, that were not as attentive if they were not really loud, like the squeaky wheel gets the grease kind of mentality or instinct is what's going on. So, oh, they're horribly noisy. I mean, we just barely slept, really. We did. I mean, we were taking turns. But, and then I have my grown dogs, and each of them has their own kind of like guides. It's like each of my dogs has a little bit of a special purpose of something that they bring me. But even being around animals, and I love birds. I happen to believe that the top animals for being able to transfer energy and give spiritual energy, emotional support, and have, you know, that instinct is cats, dogs, horses, and I would say birds. And when I say birds, probably not like parakeets or lovebirds, more the like what is Dixie Girl?
She's an Electus. So she was, you know, my bird, Leo, was an African Grey. She's a step up in size. She's not as big as like an Amazon, but she's good size. Not really double what Leo was, but, you know, they are real. It's really strange because the last couple of times I had her here, she was a little testy with me. And, like, you know, she grabbed my finger. Now, she doesn't usually do that, and she hadn't done it before, you know, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I got to thinking, you know, they're just like, they're like us. You know, maybe they have times when they don't feel well. They don't want anybody to come at them, you know. And here I am. I mean, she knows me. This time, oh, man, I'm hand-feeding her, sticking my hand in the cage, and she's just kind of looking at me. Well, so, I mean, I was a little hesitant. Because she did bite me. We didn't break the skin or anything, but I pulled away, and I said to my daughter-in-law, I said, well, I'm not going to put my hand in there for a few times now because, you know, it's too risky. But I really think that sometimes you can even push them to the limit. The longer she stays here, the better she is. If she, you know, if it's a short trip, like they would come and get her, you know, maybe the next day after they came home, maybe it was a long weekend. Well, I told my daughter-in-law, I said, you know, I really think she needs to stay here. And she's in the window, and she sees things going by, and the sun is on her. She's just, and Mushy, you would think he would go after her. Oh, no. You know, he used to sit up with Leo. Leo's cage was right in the same place. And I'd look, and they'd both be sitting there looking out the window together. I mean, it was hilarious. Now Dixie, even though Dixie's a bigger bird, Mushy still does the same thing. He'll you know, he'll go sit over there and kind of, and he's never jumped on the cage, never. Of course, if I leave the room, it's for a very short time, and then if I leave the house, I lock the door. I don't leave it open for Muzzy to get in because, you know, all it's going to take is one bite from him, and she could be bleeding all over the place. He could be. So I don't risk that, and you get into a habit. But this time she's just been so wonderful, and she's been talking away, and, you know, it's really strange, but I think sometimes they don't feel well. Sometimes something's bothering them. Maybe the last couple of times she didn't want to come here. She wanted to stay home. And it's good here for me. I'm in my office most of the time, and she's loving life. You know, right now I've got her covered, or else she'd be squawking her and doing something. But I told her it's time for the radio show, and she went, oh, like she knows what I'm saying. She probably thinks, oh, God, she's such a nut. Does she think I don't know that she's on the radio? You know, because I'm talking, but they really have temperaments, and you wouldn't think that they... So I understand how you would say they're up at the top, because they are very intelligent. I mean, these kind of birds. I've had lovebirds. I called them Mary Laverne and Andy. I named them after my parents. They were...
Tell me, like, maybe... Because I started to think about it. I thought, you know, I said that, and my guides corrected me that that's not actually true. So tell us about the lovebirds. What you feel
the lovebirds? They were really sweet. Smaller than Leo, which was an African gray. They didn't talk, as I recall. They're not the talkers. The talkers are the African grays. They have the largest vocabulary of any bird. I mean, there isn't a bird that can top them. And they'll do sentences, and you can give them hold an object, and they'll say something. They'll say what it is. That's how smart they are. But my lovebirds I got, and I was understood when I got them that you needed to have a pair because they're lovebirds. They like to, sit next to each other, and they kind of coo a little bit. Well, I ended up having babies, of course. That's how I knew it was Mary Laverne and Andy. And it was hilarious. Everybody would laugh. Then I named them after my parents. And but what was really funny is Andy would open up the door so Mary Laverne could get out. That is no joke. That's how smart he was. He would hold it, you know, it was one of those sliding doors. He slid up. He'd hold it open for her. And then it would fall back down, so he'd be in the cage, and she'd be, you know, on top of the cage, like, oh, goody, I'm up here, and you're down there. How stupid are you? But it was funny because they really had this little conversation going with the two of them. I had two sets of babies, and I hand-fed them, and then you imprint on them, just like you do with the puppies. And then once you hand-feed a baby bird, they are yours. You will be able to always hand-feed them. They won't bite you. Whoever does the imprinting on them, which was me. And I ended up, you know, I gave them away. I took them to a pet store because, you know, I think they must have had like four or five of them. And you go to take them out of the little warming area that we had, and, oh, my God, they were just crawling all over you because they were hungry. And you had to feed them with a little syringe. Oh, it was a wonderful experience. And talk about something like that, recognizing you. They knew as soon as I went in the room who I was, just like for you. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Birds are very sensitive. I'm not talking about the birds like, you know, the eagles outside and all of that. But these kind of birds, a lot of people are afraid of birds. What you need to do is get a baby bird because then they'll just love you forever. They really, really will. If you handle them, you're going to be able to handle them. Now, what Leo would do, he loved me, but he didn't like men. So if I walked into the room and, like, my son was there, he'd puff out like he was trying to make himself three times the size. It was hilarious. It was his way of protecting me. He wanted the male to know, don't get near her. So I would always stand, like, behind the cage, and I would watch him. And he was hilarious. I mean, he knew who I was, and that was it. That's my mom. Don't you forget it. And, you know, Muzzy is just like that. I've told you stories about him. He's hilarious. And he's another one. You know, they attach themselves to you. And if you're lucky enough to have the love of a dog, a cat, a bird, a hamster, whatever it is, you are really blessed because you can just, they just know you. They, you know, I think Muzzy, out of all the, I had one cat that was Tigger. Tigger was just a mush. I mean, you could do anything with him. Now, Muzzy has got his own little personality. I don't have to be careful, but you have to be careful when people come over. But he always knows if mom's having a bad day, I'm going to follow her around until she can't stand it. I'm going to be right at her feet, and that's exactly what he does. He knows. If I sit down, he's right on the arm of the couch, right next to me, nuzzling me, walking on me, you know, coming, putting his nose by my face. And if I lean over when he's standing in the kitchen, I'll say, come on, Muzzy, give me a kiss. Give Mama a kiss. And he puts his head up and touches my nose. That's his kiss.
Oh, my God.
Cats will give you kitty kisses, but they don't really do that. They'll do it on your face, but on demand. But that's his way of showing me I love you. It really is. If that cat could hug me, he would. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, I'm very lucky to have him. He's really, really sweet. But you let somebody in the house, man, his hair is standing up, and he'll hiss and he'll arch his back. Even my son, he's done that for a long, long time. Now, today, he didn't do it. He sat in his little corner because, you know, I usually put him away when somebody comes over. I don't want them to be afraid, and I don't want him to be afraid either. And sometimes I'll leave him out. Now, I left him out today, and he was fine with my son. But he really, you know, it's like he says, don't take your shoes off. You're not staying long. This is my house. This is my mom. Hit the road. And, I mean, he'll give you this look. You'll know. Cats, and I can say about cats because I've had all kinds of them, you know, their tail will go down, and their ears get like airplanes. I always say to him, why do you look like an airplane right now? And his ears will get funny. And they get this real intent look. You always know when they're on the alert. I mean, they let you know ahead of time. He owns me. That's the deal. I always say this is his house and he lets me live here because I think about it. If I didn't have him, I would always have a pet of some kind. I really, really would. I've always had dogs and all that, you know, dogs and cats and the birds, the love birds were beautiful. They were just beautiful birds. They ended up both passing away. As soon as one passed away, the other one did. It was like they were mates, the other one didn't. I know you know an awful lot. I mean, you've raised all kinds of puppies, and you probably have a lot of stories. And I remember your whisper that she would drink your husband's coffee, right?
Right, right.
And flip his hat off. I mean, these dogs, just to be funny, and these dogs will do that too. But you know, you have to, I think you have to get them when they're pups or kittens, don't you think, Maya?
I think it depends, but yeah, I mean, for the most part, to really make an impression, I know with dogs and with certain breeds, like the breed that I have, it's very detrimental to, they're considered one of the highest intuitively intelligent animals. Now, they're not considered the most obedient, like when you think of a German Shepherd, but our particular breed, one of the things that is very difficult for them is to go from home to home. They really do attach and want to be with their people. And so they can do okay, like when you show it's not atypical to send your dog out with the handler for a couple of months, a few months. And as long as they have a good bond, they like the excitement, the adventure, they like to travel. So they're a little bit like humans in that respect. But at the end of the day, I believe they do better. The puppies, I feel, do better. And also, whoever raises them, there's steps that you take. Like, for example, we don't let our puppies ever go before 9 weeks. And we generally will keep them until 10 weeks. Most breeders don't do that. First of all, it's a lot of work. Second of all, it's very expensive because they eat so much. However, I found that what working with them on bite inhibition and socializing them, and you can't really take them out and about until they've had all their shots. So by socialization, I mean being used to being handled and having their nails done, and being petted and having things taken from them and teaching them no. All of that sets a strong foundation, and learning to interact with the pack so that they literally will learn the hierarchy of the pack and to respect their elders, and that's transferred over to humans as long as the human asserts themselves as the dominant one or as the alpha. They will transfer that respect, and you will have a much better manner. So all in all, I do feel that there's exceptions, and I believe that dogs and cats, and I believe that's true with horses as well, understand when they've been rescued, like from a shelter or an adoption agency, and that they can be so grateful for having been saved that they can end up to be one of the most wonderful pets. But to shape it and mold it to fit your personality and for them to be in tune, you know, or attuned with you and your energy, I guess, to make it fit better. I mean, it's kind of like a soulmate and a life partner. It just works better, I agree, if you get them when they're young. Now, and I'll tell you another group of animals that many people... I'm not a big reptile fan. I don't dislike them, and I will catch a snake. I have many times. I'm not afraid. I'll pick up a frog. I just don't have an affinity for reptiles. But reptiles, for some people, like my youngest son, Billy, for Christmas he got a baby, what's it called, the something dragon.
Oh, I don't know. Is it a snake?
Really, no. It's something, I'll have to ask what it's called, but they have that big thing. They almost look like a dragon in the face, a bearded dragon is what they're called. It's a reptile. It's like a big lizard, but they grow to be about 8 feet.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And when you get it, like, now... He came over for dinner, and he got it for Christmas as a baby. Its name is Reggie, and he was telling us that, yeah, I know, he's now able, it now likes him, so he went really slow with it because it's the same thing with hand-raising baby birds. You have to go slow and hand-raise them and get it used to you. They can get very shy. They can startle easily. But once you make that connection, and he said now Reggie comes right where before he would hide if Billy would come towards the cage like to feed him. Now he's starting to recognize, and he's you know, his energy and his body language is indicating that he recognizes Billy. And Billy said now when he puts his hand in there where before he would run away, and so Billy would just leave his hand in there just to let him get the smell. He can't bite now. Now when they get bigger, they're like birds. They can bite, and it's more rather than a like a tooth biting, drawing blood, it's more of a bone crushing bite.
Like how a
snapping turtle would do. So you do have to be careful. Because they can harm you, but if you get them, and so I thought it was interesting because he was saying, I said, so tell me what the connection is and what you get out of it. And he said, well, part of it is just knowing that he's mine, and like when Sarah tried to get close to him, I let her go up to the cage. He immediately, like Muji, he ran. He wanted nothing to do with Sarah or anybody else.
Exactly.
But now he's real responsive to Billy. And Billy said, I don't know. There's just something when I come home and I feed him and I know that I'm taking care of him and I see how he's reacting and responding to me. He said, and when I hold him, it's just a feeling that I get. And I said, yes, it's a spiritual, it's energy that you're getting, Billy. And that's being transferred. And that I don't think that the average person really understands how much energy is transferred from animals to humans without us even having to, you know,
work at
it. I mean, we don't.
You don't have to work at it.
Mean,
it happens. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, they
now you know, Candy mentioned something. She's mentioning all of her reptiles. a bearded dragon, a Chinese water dragon, a Komodo dragon, she said, is also, I guess she's talking about reptiles. I'm reading in the chat. Is a reptile any one of those? Is it a bearded dragon, do you know?
Bearded dragon, yes.
Okay, cool. Anyways, but you wouldn't think that because of the level that a reptile is compared to, like, the brain of a dog or a cat, right?
Correct.
You would
right.
not, but it's true. It's if you and you, it really happens when they're little, when you can imprint them. I never had a kitten before. I always had cats. But Muji was a kitten. As a matter of fact, I had lost Tigger, and the vet called, the girl at the vet, and she says, oh, there's a cat here with a kitten with your name on it, because she said, do you want another one? I said, oh, you know, that kitten is going to have to come to me. I'm not going to go seeking it out. Well, sure enough, I go up there. She says, I knew it was yours. I said, why? Oh, because she said, this little kitten loves its purring and purring, and I just had a feeling you would be a good match. And look what happened. I mean, this cat, he knows me. He knows what he can get away with. You know, he's on special food because he's a male and so that he doesn't get any crystals. But if I open a can of tuna, now he doesn't know it's tuna, but he comes running into the kitchen. We have this little ritual. I'm allowed to give him a little taste. Okay, he doesn't eat the whole can because it's not good for him. I'll, you know, make up my tuna salad and I leave a little and he's sitting there and he's watching me like, well, aren't you going to share this like you always do? You know, he gets a little mail with me, you know. And so I'll put the can down and he just licks that can and then he's good to go. Or if I reach into the cat.
What breed? We know the species is cat, but what breed is he?
Oh, he's a Maine Coon. He's a Maine Coon, so he's
tell
big.
Tell us a little bit then about Maine Coons, because I don't know very much. I mean,
Maine
sure
Coons, yeah. Now, he's not the largest. They come bigger than him. He's about 20 pounds, but they can be bigger than that. Now, we knew he was probably a Maine Coon because he was real tall. As a kitten, he had long legs.
20
yeah, he had long legs.
For a cat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they get bigger than that. But
that's
when
true,
I picked
though,
him up,
he?
I said to the vet, what do you think he is? And he said, well, he's either a Maine Coon or a ragamuffin. Well, I knew he wasn't a ragamuffin because he didn't have the hair like a ragamuffin cat. And sure enough, and I had a friend who knew about Maine Coons, and she always said, you know it's a Maine Coon because they have M on their forehead for monster.
They have what? Say that again?
M, the letter M on their forehead, and that means monster.
They have an M mark.
Yes, they mostly have an M, the letter M, on their forehead. But she always made me laugh. She says, yeah, that's the monster. That means they are the boss. When they come in your home, they are the boss. But, and they only attach themselves to one person. Sometimes it's a female, sometimes it's a male. And I had Muji when my husband was still alive, and, oh, he wanted nothing to do with him. It was all me, all me. As a matter of fact, you know, everybody knows my husband had Alzheimer's, and so there would be times when he would get a little physical. Do you know that cat would attack him?
Wow.
Like, don't you go near my mom. I'll bite a chunk of your skin out. Don't you go near my mom. And he'd stand there in between us, and he'd have his back arched. That's how protective they are. But those cats, you know, they can be all different colors, but with him, I knew he was going to be big because his legs were so long when he was tall. I mean, if I stretch him out, if he lays straight out on his side, oh, I can't even begin. He's long. He's really big, and he's tall, and they can get heavier than that. They can get up to 35 pounds.
No,
those are the big ones.
Are those like the lynx or like I know there's a few other ones that are.
I don't know, but I bet you any money you're right. They're probably from one of those families, you know, distant
yeah,
kind of
lynx,
thing.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe
because
lynx,
it's funny.
I mean,
he's so tall. He's got such long legs, and then he's got this big body, and his head is not real huge. you would think that, oh, he's a big cat, he should have this mammoth head, but he doesn't really. He's just, he'll play, if I close the door and he's got this little toy that he can put underneath the door, oh, we have a game with it. I'll push it under the door and he flings it back at me, and then I'll do it again. I mean, they're really smart and protective. Yeah, very protective of the one that has imprinted them and that they really love. Now, you know, I'm not ever mean to him at all. I mean, you know, people say, well, when he was little, he always tried to attack me and bite my eye scars on my arms because he was a kitten, and that's what they do. And they said, well, just get a bottle of water and spray him. Well, I didn't want to do that. I mean, yeah, he'd look at me and probably take the bottle away from me. He'd say, who do you think you are, spraying a bottle at me? That wouldn't have worked with him. Yeah, but there are ways that you can teach them. But he's really, they're beautiful cats. They really, really are. Now, Angoras, you know, there's Angoras. They're really long-haired. And usually they have smaller faces. Huh? Persians, yeah, with the smushed-in face as a Persian. Oh, yeah, my Reggie was a Maine Coon, and my Tigger was a Maine Coon. Now, Reggie was big, but not tall like Muji. Reggie was a big cat, a big red cat with M on his forehead. And same thing with Tigger. Tigger had an M on his forehead, but Tigger was more slight. He was not big like Muji and Reggie, not at all. I mean, I've seen bigger cats than Muji, but Maine Coons are very intelligent. And I think, that's why he does something to my son, because remember, my son is a male, and they'll either attach themselves to a female or a male, and that's it. It's not both. They won't go back and forth to both. Now, at least with Muji, I don't know, but I always carry my pets around. Can you imagine carrying all the little boopies around? I love carrying little babies like that, kittens and puppies, and I just think that they are so precious. And if you're lucky to have them in your life, they can give you so much pleasure. And even though you think, oh, I'm having a lousy day, you know, whatever's going on, you think you're having a lousy day, and then you go to sit down, because I meditate a lot, that cat is right next to me, giving off his vibration to me. There's no doubt in my mind. I know exactly what he's doing. It's to comfort me and make me feel, Mom, it's okay. You know, you'll be okay. He does his own way of talking to me. When I was gone, you know, I had to leave for the hurricane. And so my neighbor took care of him. But he hid. She never saw him. But the food was gone. He hid behind the couch. And so, but when I came home and he heard my voice and he knew the garage door was closing, he came flying out of the room talking to me as if to say, oh, Mom's home, Mom's home. I'm so happy. And rubbing against me and talking. And, of course, I picked him up and he nuzzled me. He knew. He can tell me when my son is coming down the street ready to open the garage door and it's not open yet, because he'll run and hide. And he'll take off and I'll say, Mushy, where'd you go? And then all of a sudden I stop and I hear the garage door open. He knows. That's how in tune he is. And they're very smart, super smart. And but I think that, you know, he respects Dixie Girl just because it's, you know, she's a bird and he's a cat and they don't attack. I think they do that more in the wild than anything else. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Maybe they don't. But, you know, I really think that they can get along really, really well if you're in the room with them. And, you know, Dixie has never lunged at him at all. Now, Leo, his cage, Reggie would sit on top of the cage. Can you imagine this other big red cat that I had would sit up on top of the cage? And I would be in the room with Leo now. And Leo would look at him, and I'd be watching because I'd think, oh, man, he's going to try to take a bite out of him. Never did. Never hurt that cat. Now, you know, Leo could really talk. I really miss Leo. Leo was my baby, you know. He would tell me good night when the light was left on at night. And he'd, what else would he say? He'd say, good night, hello, where are you? I mean, he'd say the sweetest little things out of nowhere. And I didn't have him as a baby. he came to me through my son because somebody gave him to my son. And for the longest time, he would never talk. And I even called the guy that had the pet store. I said, he's not talking. He said, oh, you're lucky. Wait till he starts talking. He's going to drive you nuts. And that was true. He did. He started talking, and he said, you're going to be appreciate this time, he said, because they're going to drive you cuckoo. And it happened. It really, really did. But he, if you worked with him, and he was really good to me. He didn't bite me or anything. But anybody else, uh-uh. I think a man abused him with water. The gal who gave my son the bird said that the previous owner would spray him and jab at him and make him mean because he didn't like him. Well, obviously, the bird didn't like him either. But he never lunged at me. He never did any of that. But again, they attach themselves to a male or a female, not both. They're the same kind of thing. I don't know if you get that with dogs, do you?
Yes.
No, I guess not. It can be kind of mixed, can it?
Not. It's more mixed. It's not that exclusivity because, like, the dogs, they love my husband, and I would say they tend to be, at least the majority of them, a little bit more my dogs than his, but they love him. You know, they don't. I mean, I think if they had to make a choice, it would be me, but they don't like, I mean, they love on him and they sit by him and, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
But now the difference I would say with the dogs between myself and my husband is they see me as the alpha. So for example, especially with this breed, yes. So if he goes to sit down, let's say he's going to sit down and eat, they'll crowd around him and they'll even jump up on the table, which of course, no, they're not allowed to do, but they'll pester him to the point where he has to put them up. I can sit there. I can sit even right at my computer where it's open on all sides. I can sit and eat a meal and occasionally, Rico will get close, and all I have to do is I just give them a look, and they back off. They sit and wait. I mean, they know
they're afraid
that,
of you. No, you're the boss. It's not that they're afraid of you. You're in charge.
No, they just respect. They know that the alpha eats
first. Oh, yeah,
first,
that too. Yeah, respect. Exactly.
And when I'm done, and if I decide when I'm done, there's something left, but, you know, my husband he'll complain all the time and say, you know, I can't eat with these darn dogs around here. And I said, well, that's your fault. You created this. I said,
yeah.
I don't feed them when I'm eating. They respect me just like going through doors or certain things. Now, our breed tends to be a jumping up breed. So that's something that we allow because when you show them, you want that animation. But now they don't, you know, I'm not saying if I left my plate, one of them wouldn't steal something off it if they thought they could get by with it. But they just have a respect for me. The only thing that they do, and this is more Rico, is this is a herding breed, and they know when I'm going from one room into, I have the kitchen where it's kind of an open floor plan, and so the wood stove, of course, now it's going to be 68, but it was like 4 degrees here 2 days ago. So I'm right here by the wood stove. It's all open. And the kitchen, that's where my desk and my setup is. And then that's where all the dogs can go, you know, the tile floor. And then we have the garage, which is like kind of like a family room. I mean, it's not quite like that, but it's not just a garage either. It's basically finished drywall. It has heating and air conditioning vents. And so it's set up. It has a desk in there. It has a television and all that stuff. So now when I get up and Rico has a bad habit of what he does is he pushes, he's hurting me. He'll push me with his nose and push me along as I'm walking. And I have to tell him, stop doing that. You're driving me nuts. And then he'll push me back. But, you know, that's the herding instinct. But, you know, you were talking about in the wild natural predators versus, you know, when we tame and we domesticate animals. I had that cockatiel The cockatiel, the original owner, was a wonderful older lady that passed away. And when she did, I'm not sure how the bird got passed around, but it ended up with someone who, if you can even believe this, it was my daughter-in-law's grandmother ended up with the bird. And my daughter-in-law said, "Is there any way that you would take the bird?" Because she knew I liked birds. She said, "It's got a cage. It's got everything." She said, my nan isn't taking care of it, and I feel really bad for it. It's in a dark room." And I said, "Absolutely, yes, bring it over. You know, bring her." She said, "It's a female. And it was owned by a lady that loved it, but she passed away." So if you can believe this, when we brought the cage in, it was just piled up so high with filthy newspapers. So all she did is she never cleaned it. And wait till you hear this. And this, on the Bible, my hand to the Bible, I swear this is true. So my daughter-in-law and I, as we started pulling out the bottom of the cage, and the bird, you know, was already freaking out as soon as we started messing with that. And I said, "Gosh, I hope she's going to be okay, because they can die from stress." You know what happened when we pulled that bottom part to pull all that crud out, because of course we were going to clean it and change it? A mouse jumped out.
A mouse was under there?
The newspapers were piled up so high. There was a mouse.
It suffocated?
Living in that cage. Well, it got out and we caught it. And we,
God.
And I thought, no wonder she got, her name was Tina. No wonder she got so worked up when she saw us pulling and messing with that paper, because I was like, "Oh my gosh, that poor bird." She was thin. So I took her to the vet. We cleaned her cage, but she was already, after we got that mouse, then we had to chase the mouse down. Unfortunately, I feel bad. I wish we could have let the mouse go, but we had to catch it in a way that just wasn't possible.
Right, and they don't usually go out when you want them to go out. They go out when they feel like it. They just run and hide. Mice are like that,
It about jumped on us when it jumped out. So we took her to the vet, and the vet wanted her on, gave her some supplements, and said that her beak, you probably know more about it. I've had parakeets, and this was my first cockatiel, I think, that I had. But something about her beak was wrong, and she had said that's from stress, maybe pecking at the cage.
Oh, yeah. When birds get stressed, yes, a lot of things will change. Their feet will change. Of course, their feathers, their beak, yes, absolutely. When they're lacking in something nutrition-wise, their beaks will not be right. And then they can't eat right either.
Well, she gave us drops we were to put in her water, and then she clipped her wings so she couldn't fly, and we had her for the longest time, and it was just a horrible tragedy that occurred and why we don't have her. But you talk about animals getting along. The dogs at first wanted to try to jump up, and they behave themselves in the way that I would discipline. If no, and my body language wasn't enough, is I would just fill up an empty soda can with some pennies or nuts and bolts so it made noise and tape it, and then I would just shake it at them and say, "Quit." They're all looking at me because I just said that. They're like, "What? We're just laying here sleeping." And
we're just being good, Mom.
And luckily, our best boy, we lost him. It'll be 3 years now that he's been gone. He loved Tina, and he would lay by her cage and protect her. And he was my pack balancer. He was the most amazing dog I have ever owned in my entire life. And I know that I'll never find one like him. But he protected her, and she would say some words. And we used to call, Loki's nickname was Booey. Now, we were saying boy, but we were saying it in a way that it sounded like, hey, Booey. We'd say it like that. And she kept saying this word, and we kept saying, what is she saying? Because she'd holler, like, frantically. And finally I said, oh, my gosh, she's calling for Lucky. She'd go, Billy, 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 Billy.
Yeah.
He would come running, and I think she just did it to see if he would get up and, you know, come at her request. But
pay attention to her. So he would recognize that sound that she was making.
Because he would come and put it, because the way that she said it, it was like, and she would whistle, and she would say words occasionally, and now pretty much everybody was afraid of her, which I was going to mention, too, with birds. I think a lot of people are afraid of getting bit. I'm not saying that's true of you, but excuse me. If you show fear around any animals, they will react to them. Now, see, I just would put, you know, I mean, I was careful with her and gave her a chance to decompress and recover, which she did. I mean, within a week, it was like her color was brighter.
She responded well.
I mean, she was moving around, and she wasn't skittish, and I started, you know, letting her out, not when the dogs were free other than Lucky. I didn't want to push things that far. But I would let her out, and I put my finger, and whoever had owned her originally must have had her as a baby, because she would come on my shoulder, and then she would say, I think she was saying kisses, and she would make a kissing sound and go,
like that.
And so I would kiss her, but everybody else, she would like make like a hissing sound. Did your birds do like kind of that, like?
No, but they can. They can. And they each have their own kind of thing to let you know, stay back. Now, Dixie, see, you know, I respect her. You know, I know right away, you know, I'll go up to her cage and I'll have something. I mean, every time I walk in the room and I've got something, I'm holding, she thinks it's food, right? Oh, she's coming to me. So I'll go over there and I'll say, come on down. She comes right down and I can hand feed her. You have to be careful with birds sometimes. They do sense if you're afraid. Now, two times I had her here, I did not. I was careful. Affected her space. And I didn't put, you know, and when you put your hand in a bird's cage, that is their home.
Right,
you don't do that. You make them come out. Because if you, I mean, and a lot of birds will do that. They will attack you because that is their home. You're coming into my house.
You're right.
And I don't like it, or maybe they will like it. I don't know. But, birds command things and they tell you things even if they don't talk. You just have to watch them and be around them. And I've got a call that came in, so I'm going to let you talk a little bit and let me see what who our caller is and what they would like to contribute, okay?
Okay. So for those of you that are listening, I know there's a lot of popular small pets, guinea pigs. I had a guinea pig that had a very strong spiritual energy and interacted with us in a way that I've had guinea pigs before, unlike other guinea pigs, but of course I was more aware. So if you own a guinea pig, the rats that can be owned, hamsters, hamsters and gerbils can. Now they're not, they don't have as great an interest socially in people, but they don't in nature. If you look at them, they're not quite as social. But like ferrets are another animal, and so are those little, I wish I could think of what they're called. They almost look like little porcupines, little hedgehogs. That's what they're called.
Oh, yeah. I'm back, by the way. You know what? The spine sticking up, that kind of bothers me for some reason. Isn't that weird? I don't like that. I don't like to look at something sticking up like spines. I've always had that. It's a phobia. I guess I don't know. But,
rabbits. I mean, I've known people that have raised rabbits, and their rabbits, our bird, we could leave. With Kena, we could leave the cage open, and if she was on my shoulder, if she had to go potty, she would go into her cage and do her business and come back. And our guinea pig, his name was Stuart, they call it weaking because it sounds like they're saying weak, weak, weak. And they have different tones and different ways that they make that noise has a different meaning. And he would let us know. So there's many animals. And if you think about it, too, I wanted to quickly mention, and I know we're getting ready to wrap it up, and that's why we decided to make this two parts. But if you look at, for example, service animals, of course, most of them are dogs, but there are service cats, a lot of rehabilitation homes, nursing homes, places like that, occupational homes, homes for different ages, children with anything from autistic to other issues. Oftentimes they have an animal and many different kinds, anything from a guinea pig to a rabbit to a cat to a dog. And then look at how many of these places, even rehab places, all different places that work with challenged individuals, including children and even abused children, have horses, ponies, boats even, and those kind of animals, because they found that, especially with children that have been severely abused or are autistic or on that scale, and to a greater degree rather than a lesser degree, any type of issues like that, you know, attachment disorders, things like that, they're able to relate to animals because they're not good socially. They're not adept at interacting appropriately, you know, talking and articulating themselves, expressing themselves. But with animals, there's a transfer of that energy, and they've just found studies have shown that it's very healthy for them, that they do very well, and that, you know, so we're seeing more and more, I believe, and I believe the wave of the future will be, I just read a quick news story today, and it was about an autistic child that the family ended up adopting a small, like a, not a boxer, but like a Boston terrier or I can't think of what they're called now, but they're the small, they're not pugs, but they're similar to that. And they're just small, little, very jovial, very easy, deaf. It's completely deaf. But they found that the advancement that the child has made, and that when it's a male, when he gets, you know, when he gets very disoriented and gets in kind of a rage, you might say, whatever's going on with his brain not functioning right, it's almost like having a seizure, except it's not, he's not having a seizure. It's more just a outburst of energy and behavior. They found that the dog automatically goes to his side, and he just puts his hand or lays his body against the animal, and they said that it's been immediately calming down, and that they've just seen, they've had the dog, I believe, just a couple of months, and they said the progress they've seen in their child is just beyond belief. So I believe the wave of the future and it is going to be more and more realizing the power of the energy that animals have and their ability to help us, even if we're not challenged, even if we just want, you know, some extra support or some added without having to. And I don't want to make it sound like without having to do anything in return, but we don't, maybe we're not in the mood to talk to anyone. We're having a rough day. Come home, and whether you're into reptiles or it's a rabbit or it's a bird or a dog or a cat, if you're lucky enough to have the property and you can have a horse or a goat or a sheep or what's the other ones, the llamas and the...
Llamas, oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Muji, when I come in the door, he comes running to me if I'm by myself. And even at night, like I set up my coffee, he comes into the kitchen with me, and he'll rub up, and he looks up at me like, Mom, I love you. And, I, you know, and he's just, he's the only cat I have ever had that, like, clings to me, that, like, knows. And I think maybe it's because I'm alone, and he knows I get lonely, and I think he tries to tell me, Mom, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'm with you. I love you. He does it all the time. It's not, and that's exactly what he does. And then you forget about what you were upset about because he doesn't let you. He just doesn't let you.
Or it just lightens the load. I mean, it just,
yeah.
It's just like a release. It's like some people would meditate or would take an anxiety medication.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
just
really
sit with your pet.
That's right. So I know we're out of time, and
yeah,
this is a
yeah,
great
I
subject.
Extended it a few minutes, but yeah.
And that's about
but we're
going to
continue this on next week, and I want to thank Stars. Amina was in the chat room tonight, and Candy was in there, and she's been listening, and Stars Amina is in Hawaii, and she's new to the site and doing very well, and she's been enjoying our chat, I'm sure. And but she is from, I want to say, is she from Australia? Maybe she'll answer me in chat. Is she from Australia? I don't remember. But she has this beautiful accent. She called me from there and from Hawaii because they've been living in Hawaii for quite a few years. But she's got this. I love to hear people with accents like that. I think it's so cool. And, of course, we want to thank Candy. Candy's been promoting, I've been promoting. She'll wait for me to promote from the pages, and then she runs with it, or she'll start it off, and then I retweet. But really, this is a great topic. And, you know, I had kind of a rough day today, and I feel so relaxed and calm. And I think, you know, I'm sure, oh, she's from England, she just said. She's from England. Okay. Thank you, Zoe. Her name is Zoe. And I think by just chatting about pets and what they can do for you is really, really helpful. And for those who maybe are alone, not even alone, but they feel like they're alone, and you know, you have a pet that's yours, it belongs to you, and if you can imprint with it and get it when it's a baby, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, I've never had a baby bird, but I told my son, if an African gray wants me as a mom, it's going to find his way to me. But I will only take a baby. I don't want an adult one because I want to imprint it. I want to work with it. You know, Leo used to say, Reggie, that was the other cat I had. He was a hoot. And if I left the light on at night, you know, in the office, good night, good night. Good night, good night. I mean, he would not stop saying that until I shut the light off. I mean, he was like a little person. He was like a little person. So, really, they can make you smile. They can make you laugh. But next week, we're going to talk about more. And I'm going to do a little bit of investigative work because everybody knows I love the lions and the giraffes. I want to see what they're like. I know we've heard of a man who runs with the lions all the time, and they love him up and all of that. And you know, I mean, you can't have a pet. I mean, there are some that have pets for a lion, I suppose. I've seen pictures of them. But, you know, there's even a cat that's really big, and I forget the name of it, but it's like it's humongous. It's just this really – and it's kind of like as big as a lion, you know, a baby lion, like, you know. Well, they're the little ones,
like
the lionesses. Or I'll look that up. I'll find out that information for next week.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's amazing. Now, just think about this. If you go on the Internet and look for this man who's with the lions, you are going to be amazed the love they showed this man. And he explains how it started. And it's not unusual. But, again, they were little. They were cubs. They weren't, you know, they've grown with him. You know, he's been around for a long, long time and works with them. And they protect him, too. A bunch of them, not just one. There's a bunch of them. But anyways, I love to watch that stuff. So anyways, I'm going to cut this off now. And thank you, Maya Moon. Always a delight to have you. oh, what does she say? England. This is Amina. She says, Australia is where we sent our prisoners. It's funny.
Oh.
Well, it probably did happen. I don't know. But anyways, want everybody to have a good week. Come back. We're going to have part two of this. Call in. I didn't even give out the number. Sometimes I get to talking so much, as everybody knows, I could just talk for hours and hours. And when it's on a subject that I really love, you can hear my voice rise up. It's easy. But we'll be back next week, 8 o'clock, Monday. Please join us. And I love you, Maya Moon. I love you, Amina. And I love you, Candy. She's been listening on the line. And we will see everybody next week for part two about the love and support you can get from an animal. Bye-bye.